This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello. Great to be with you again.
And Bridget, we've got one of our big events. We have two kind of big events every year, our dinner and our golf outing. And our golf outing is coming up. It's going to be the nicest day in May.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful,
warm,
sunny.
The 21st of May, you can put a big circle in there and put a little sun rays around it because it's going to be sunshiny.
Yep.
And 70 degrees.
Yeah, we want it not too hot, not too cold,
right.
just right. Beautiful, sunny.
And so we have selected May 21st as our date for our golf outing this year. New place. It's going to be at the Ironwood Golf Club in Fishers, and we're having so much fun putting it together. We were just planning the menu. I think for lunch we're going to have outdoor grilled hamburgers.
Ooh.
And hot dogs, but then for dinner we're going to have steak, and it's going to be grilled too.
Oh my gosh.
So we got some
good, come for the steaks.
We got some good eating coming up. So 21st of May, Ironwood Golf Club, and it starts, the registration starts at 10 in the morning. We've got mass at 11. Then lunch, golf, dinner, prizes, lots of fun, and it's going to be a good time. You can sign up right now at our website, catholicradioindy.org, or just call us here at the station, 317-870-8400. Again, 317-870-8400, or catholicradioindy.org.
And here at Catholic Radio, we're celebrating our 15-year anniversary.
Happy birthday to us.
Yes, and it's really awesome. I mean, it's really pretty much a miracle that all the listeners have supported us this many years to stay on the air. We're not funded by, really, we've got underwriters and listeners, and that's pretty much it, right?
And the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana both love us, both bishops, the Archbishop and the Bishop Doherty, both appear regularly on Catholic Radio, but it's just not their responsibility to fund Catholic Radio. That responsibility rests with you and me and everybody listening today. So if you're one of our supporters, thank you very much. If you haven't joined our family of supporters yet, you can do that at our website too. Again, that's Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, .org.
So Catholic Radio is celebrating their 15-year anniversary, but the month of March is also a celebration of, it's organ donation month, and we have two people in our studio today who actually, one was a donor and one was a recipient, both Catholic and practicing Catholics, and they have a really great story in honor of organ donation month. So our guests, I should introduce you, right? Our guests are Diana Wedding and Stephen O'Keefe. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you.
And really, I think I'm going to have Stephen, the local apologist, because he's also an apologist on the side, in addition to being an engineer. But I'm going to ask you this question. Is it St. Thomas Aquinas or is it St. Augustine that says that he defines love as self-gift for the good of another? I'm not sure if that's Thomas Aquinas or...
It was originally Aristotle.
Oh,
and then it was
okay.
Taken over by Aquinas.
Okay. Gosh, it went back a little even further. Well, that's kind of how I look at, you know, the donation of an organ. How did you two meet? That's Diana and Stephen. I know that you were a teacher and you were in the convent. So maybe let's talk a little bit about you first, and then we'll talk about how you met.
Okay. Yes, it's so neat. This month is organ donation month. In fact, March 14th is National Kidney Day, and I received a kidney transplant from Stephen. I'm the oldest of five kids, and I was raised Catholic, received a degree in elementary education from Purdue, and taught 3 years at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, then entered religious life as I was heard God calling for many years, and finally he made it clear when and where to go. And while I was there temporarily for 5 years, God made it clear I was supposed to come home. And at that time was when God made it clear through the doctors that my kidneys were failing and that I needed to start the process to get on the kidney transplant list.
So do people have two kidneys?
Most people have two kidneys. Some are born with one, and they live a very healthy life their whole life.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought everybody had, I didn't know that only some people had one. So were both, did you have two kidneys and were they both failing?
Yes, well, I had both kidneys, and actually it was just at the senior year of my college education that I found that I had kidney damage. And so they did a biopsy, and so that one kidney kind of took a little bit more of a hit than the other. And, they could tell at that time that my kidneys both had been kind of damaged and shriveled up, and at that point, that's what they knew. Something's going on, and we don't know why.
And then from that point, when they realized there was a problem, did they know at that time that you were going to need to get a kidney transplant, or what?
At that time, they said, well, you're still very healthy, and some people can be healthy for many years and need a kidney transplant down the road. Others, you know, it could progress more aggressively, but they did say, well, we're getting your blood pressure under control, because that was a surprise. That's what led to looking into the kidney.
Okay.
With testing, and they found the problems with the kidney. So once they said, we'll get your blood pressure under control and you need to follow a low sodium diet, those things, it ended up that I was stable from 2005 to 2015.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Or 2014, but yes, it was a very long time, and I think it was by the grace of God that I was able to follow the diet regimen.
You had Lent all for 10 years, right?
I used to think, oh, when I get to heaven, I can have chocolate cake and macaroni and cheese.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Diana Wedding and Stephen O'Keefe, and we're talking about organ donation. They both were involved in that. How did the two of you meet? Stephen, do you remember when you met? I know you're active in the parish at Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
To the best of my recollection, we were in similar friend groups. I think that we both... we would attend the same barbecues.
Mm-hmm. Was it through Frasati or just mutual friends?
Mutual friends.
Okay.
We were acquaintances prior to this. Mm-hmm. And we would see each other around parish. I would describe to people that we would know each other well enough that we would say hi when we saw each other.
Okay. And then at what point did you realize that you needed a kidney? And then at what point, Stephen, did you feel called to donate yours to Diana? This is just the wildest story.
Yes, so when God made it clear to come home from the convent in 2014, that was the same time I went to the kidney transplant center with St. Vincent's to go through evaluation and application to get on the kidney transplant list.
Okay.
So at that
time... So
there's
a process for that too, right?
Yes, yes. So you get connected, you're referred by your kidney doctor, and once you go through paperwork, then they have a day you come and they educate you about what the kidneys do and what a transplant would do, and then you meet with the whole staff. So it's half a day of you meet one-on-one with the nurse, the kidney doctor, surgeon, dietitian, and also, I think, the social worker, financial guy. They make sure, they let you know you have a lot of support, mm-hmm. but they also are making sure you would be a good candidate who would properly take care of yourself and the kidney that would be a life gift to you.
Sure. Now, how selective is the process? I mean, can anybody loan you or give you a kidney, or does it have to be specific age, specific blood type, whatever?
As we went through that process, we learned that at the time, in 2014, they were just talking about changing how those who need a kidney receive a kidney. So it changed that young people, young healthy people, they try to match with a donor who's young and healthy.
Oh, that makes sense, you know, because it's maybe more of a match, you know, the same age. You know, the same age organ.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Need it longer, possibly, than someone who is 88 or...
Sure. Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. So then, Stephen, how did you find out about Diana's need?
Mm-hmm. So Diana had been on dialysis, I think, for months anyways, and she had a Facebook group called Find Diana a Kidney.
I was on that, actually. I think I remember. I'm still on that, I think.
I invited everyone I knew on Facebook.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, kind of a strange thing happened, which was I saw the Facebook post for it, And I suddenly just knew that I was part of this story. It was just like, you know, rarely does a charismatic Holy Spirit thing happen to me. But when it did, it was rather subtle. It was like finding, you know, change in your back pocket. It was just suddenly I looked at it and I knew that I was part of this story. I knew that I was going to be the person who was involved in this. And so kind of armed with that knowledge that I had no business having, I turned to my wife and I said, well, I think this is for me. I think I'm called to do this. And she was supportive. And so I called up the transplant services and they gave me a box in the mail and off to the blood center I went to get blood drawn for the match test.
So it was that fast?
It was about, it took about
in
a
terms,
week.
I mean, you saw the Facebook page and then you felt like, I need to do this. And
yeah, that part of it was fast. Yeah, and then getting the box in the mail was about a week.
Okay. That's still pretty fast.
Yeah.
Pretty close to Amazon there, right? Go on, Dan. I know you got something to say over there.
For me, when I came home in 2014 and I knew, okay, I'm going to have to get on the list, at first I was told, you know, okay, you're healthy, you have a lot of family members, you could find a donor before you need to do dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I came home, of course, Father Richard, our pastor at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, was very supportive of me spiritually, and then physically he offered, you know, can we put something in the parish bulletin to get the word out to see, to help find you a donor? And at that time I thought, no, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We'll check with all my family members. I didn't feel like I was ready to beg.
Yeah, I understand.
So I waited about 2 years. It was when I went on a Christ Renews parish weekend and met a great group of women. One of the women, I believe through the Holy Spirit, she was led. She said, I feel called to be your donor champion. And St. Vincent's Transplant Services has a program called the Donor Champion, who is a person who, a friend or a family member, who can step up and talk to St. Vincent's and get the paperwork, that just information, flyers. They're like a middleman.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, okay, first of all, you need to write a little blurb in third person, and we'll give it to Father Richard so he can put it in the parish bulletin. And that was so simple. I thought, okay, copy and paste, start a Facebook group, invite everyone I know to the Facebook group. Bam.
Wow, that's amazing. So we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear more about the story and how it all worked out. Everyone's smiling in here, right? Stay tuned.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
Take Catholic Radio Indy's 40 Days of Lent Challenge. During Lent, listen to at least 1 hour of Catholic radio each day. If you're already a daily listener, add an hour each day or pick a different time to listen. Or, if you really want to go all in, listen exclusively to Catholic Radio Indy from now until Easter. Spend 40 days with Catholic Radio Indy and see what a difference 100% Catholic programming 24/7 makes.
This station has been an inspiration.
Those moments of the Lord, it always makes my day better.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, as well as our guests, Diana Wedding and Stephen O'Keefe. And we're talking about organ donation and the great story that they are sharing about that. So I think when anybody has a crisis, whether it's a health crisis or a job loss or whatever, if you're Catholic or if you're a Christian, you're like, God, why? And how do you deal with that? And how was it for you? I mean, you're a young person. I mean, you're probably like maybe late 20s at the time, maybe younger about that. I don't know, something like that, in that range.
About 32.
Oh, really? Okay. Still pretty young. And to have something like that go wrong, talk about the faith, how you dealt with that with your faith.
So, and now that I think about it, I actually was 22 when I first found out that I had kidney problems. So,
and that's really young. I mean, you don't expect your kidneys to go out at that age.
Yes, I was shocked. And so, yes, it was a long journey, and my faith was tested, and I asked God, why, what's going on? Why is this happening? And so in the middle of those years, I did enter the religious life. And so in the beginning, right after college, I had a lot of prayer support and cards from family, distant family members. So then I was able to sit back. It was, I know in the summertime, I was living at home. I was able to sit out on our patio in the backyard, and I had a lot of time to pray and talk to God about it. And he showed me that he was there, and he brought me through it. And it was when I entered religious life that I actually learned some tools and how to deal with different crises, or just when you're struggling or learning about yourself and going through faith formation, just to recall your own personal salvation. So I thought of just my history from when I was in utero in my mom's womb. I was one of a twin, and the other twin was a stillborn, and just how God had, you know, saved my life, given me life. And then throughout my life, when I've been ill, I had food poisoning, had acute kidney failure, almost died. The nurses asked how I was there. I said, well, by the grace of God, I'm here.
So he brought you that far. So you kind of, in looking back, you realize God's been with me this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So then you mentioned something off air that you, when you were on dialysis, you were starting to get kind of low, like,
yes,
mentally or just spiritually, just
mm-hmm.
going into despair, right?
Right. So I had had experiences in my life of being sick and also feeling like I'm wandering and not sure where God was leading me as I was in religious life, and as God proposed the thought that maybe I'm not called to religious life. And so when I was home doing peritoneal dialysis every night, I was trapped basically to this machine for 8 hours a night. I couldn't travel, go on vacations. And as I had family members that were good candidates, and then it would show up that, well, my father had high blood pressure about a month into the evaluation. Mm. So he wasn't a match anymore. And then my sister wasn't quite old enough yet. She was just about 18. And my brother was a really good match, but he just wasn't at a place in his life. He was recently graduated from college. He wasn't at a place to make that decision. So I had started feeling pretty discouraged that, oh, I'm never going to get a transplant. I'll be stuck to this dialysis machine forever. And my boyfriend and I at the time had been talking about marriage and thinking,
how am I going to do this?
I don't know if we get married. I don't know if we can get married if we can't have children or something, if this isn't, yeah, I don't know how this works out. But, you know, I had great prayer support from parishioners and the Christ Renews, his parish ladies I had been on retreat with. So
what was the time frame from when you were feeling really low and wondering, like, is this ever going to work out, to when Stephen came on the scene?
So I do remember that Stephen asked me in August about, he said, I saw that post on Facebook and the blurb in the bulletin, and I think I had been probably despairing
a month, maybe.
Maybe a month. It was in the summertime. So then
I seemed like an eternity, you know.
It did. But then when I think back, or maybe that was June, but it was definitely summer. But then when he let me know in September, he said that he was a match, and he said, if my Irish blood puts up a fight with your blood, I'm sorry. So he said he was going through to get his blood tested, and that was September 13th, I believe, because I thought of Our Lady of Fatima.
Oh, wow.
So one of the tests they do is called a blood interaction test, and it's exactly what it sounds like. They just put my blood and her blood into a petri dish and just see what they do.
Mm.
And so if mine kills hers or vice versa, then I'm not a match. But it turned out that...
They were friends.
Stephen, a question that I've kind of always wondered, I'm sure a lot of people wonder, you had two kidneys.
I had two.
You now have one.
I One's on loan.
Is it different? Do you feel different? Is there limitations to what you can do physically, or do you notice any difference?
There are some limitations. So I have to tell doctors that I'm allergic to ibuprofen and aspirin, which is a half truth, but it keeps them from prescribing it to me. So you can't have that any longer. My kickboxing career was over before it began. And and I do have to pay more attention to my water intake, which honestly most people do anyways. Could I talk more about the process after I found out that I was a match?
Yeah.
So, you know, both to my surprise and not surprise, you know, I mentioned that sort of like a Holy Spirit moment where I just knew that this was a story that I was going to be a part of. They called me up and said that I was a match, and my face turned pale because I suddenly realized I was
this is real.
I was in far deeper than I had thought I was. The compatibility test is sort of like the camel's nose under the tent, but it's a one-piece camel. And once you find out you're a donor, you're a potential donor, you realize that the ethics of your decision making has changed dramatically.
Yes.
You are either going to do this thing, and everyone's going to call you a hero for it, or you are going to walk away, and you will have to look yourself in the mirror knowing you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no middle ground. And you have to just decide, which one of these two people do you want to be? And so the first step is really you try to talk yourself out of it in any way that you can.
I think we've all been there in other situations.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I was talking to my wife about it, but she was supportive of it. And I was telling myself, well, there's health complications. I can't assume that when I'm just a kid. And then there was a lady at work who was talking to me about it, and she kind of a gruff woman, but a very kind woman. And she said, I asked her about the health ramifications, and she said, I didn't even quit smoking. and so she helped push me over. You know, one of the first people I called was my roommate from college.
Was she also a pirate too?
No, she was in
just gruff.
She was in the
kind
military.
Gotcha.
One of the first people I called was my roommate from college, and his father had needed a transplant. That was my first contact there, was to call him, which I'm very glad that he was in my life for that and other reasons. And ultimately, what, you know, as the excuses fell down one by one, I finally settled with, well, you know, maybe if she was really my sister, you know, like a biological sister, this would be something I would do. But, you know, she's just an acquaintance from church. She's not really my sister. But on the other hand, I'm a Catholic youth minister, and I regularly tell the kids that our parish family, our family as Catholics, is real family, and we should treat that as something that matters, that we really should regard these people as our brothers and our sisters in not just sort of a sappy symbolic way.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, how could I ever sit in front of them and tell them that ever again if I were to use that as my excuse not to do this thing?
Yeah.
And
now I'm sure there's people listening right now who are thinking, wait a minute, this is Catholic radio. I didn't think Catholics could do that.
Well, they would be wrong. So there is Catholic teaching on the subject, and I have here a quote from Pope John Paul II's Evangelium Vitae, and he describes organ donation in there, and if I could just read that.
Yeah.
He says, as a part of spiritual worship acceptable to God, the gospel of life is celebrated above all in daily living, in which we should be filled with self-giving and love for others. In this context, so humanly rich and filled with love, heroic actions are born. Over and above such outstanding moments, there is everyday heroism, made up of gestures, big and small, which build up an authentic culture of life. A particularly praiseworthy example of such gestures is the donation of organs, performed in an ethically acceptable manner, with a view of offering a chance of health, even of life, to the sick who sometimes have no other hope. And so this is something that the Church encourages, in fact, and holds out for us as a moment of charity.
That is really unbelievable. I mean, we only have about 3 minutes left, but do either of you know, like, what the need is? Like, if you hadn't found Stephen, or he hadn't found you, or that blurb on Facebook, I mean, what's the need? I mean, if people maybe listening wanted to donate, you know, be a donor, mm-hmm. what would they do?
So I know
two
that
questions
national, there. Nationwide, it's about 120,000 people are in need of an organ donation. And I was told it would probably take about 2 to 3 years to find a donor for me. But I have met people in the doctor's offices that waited 6, 7, 8, 9 years wow. on dialysis. I admire them. And then if others are feeling called and want to know more about being a donor, you can go online
mm-hmm.
to the
St. Vincent Transplant Services, right?
Yes.
And you can go to www.stvincent.org. And I have also have a phone number. It's 317-338-6701. We just have a few minutes left, but I want to ask both of you, what was this like? I mean, how did this change your faith or impact your faith? Or how did you use your faith in this instance?
I'll go first.
Give you each a minute.
Yeah, so for me, this has been... it became a touchstone moment for me for a time where I really felt like God called me to do something and showed his presence in my life. It reminded me of our frailty and the need to rely on prayer and to even to look forward towards the next life and to not cling so tightly to the things of this world. As I've shared this experience with other people, I've tried not to downplay the, you know, there is suffering involved with it. It's major surgery. That's no picnic. But at the same time, I've tried to encourage those who have also considered doing this, telling them that what you give up is so much less than what you give to the recipient. You give up the ability to have ibuprofen, and you give the other person the ability to live.
And Diana, what about for you? What's the journey been like for you?
So for me, I know it it also renewed my faith and helped me grow in my relationship with Christ, but also I've seen how because of this I am so much healthier. I do have so much more energy, despite right now I'm 13 weeks pregnant, which that's another miracle from God.
Praise God. That's yes. awesome.
He just keeps pouring out the blessings and taking care of me and baby, and so I've seen how I have been able to share that joy and that hope with others in their suffering.
My guests today have been Diana Wedding and Stephen O'Keefe talking about organ donation. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.